Not bad. What's going on, boys? How you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're jacked up. We made the big announcement yesterday. Yannick Hansen's going to join us. Jovo's going to join us on our playoff coverage, so we're excited about that. Just a quick, we'll ask you about this playoff series. Quick weigh-in. Do you have any thoughts? Is Todd Harvey kind of viewed as a how would you term it? Rising star? Is that too much?
I mean, yeah, I think you can use that term for that, for Todd Harvey. I think that when you look at, you know, scouts and stuff like that, and people seem to move up the ranks pretty quickly here, but, you know, if he's being put in charge and in a position to see where an organization wants him to lead the way, there's definitely a reason for it. I think the whole Judd Brackett thing here kind of had a life of its own. I think we can agree on that, all of us, a little bit. But I mean, you look at what picks the Canucks had and what picks they made under his watch. So I mean, there's a little bit of pressure, but I believe that if he's being put in a position, it's definitely because he deserves it.
And well, things have changed, obviously, too, right? And when somebody departs, and now you're in a new reality with everything going on in a pandemic, and there is realities when it comes to, you know, what's being spent on what, doing what, and not having as many picks this year. So how they do this draft might be a lot different from how it happens beyond this year and what happens, you know what I mean? Like, there could be a lot of things that change over the next year. But, you know, I think a lot of these conversations kind of do get picked up because there will be the whole Alex Lafreniere situation if they do lose to Minnesota, and the fact that the team might be looking to acquire more draft picks. And Jake Virtanen's name keeps coming up again. And, you know, all this draft stuff always comes back to the same age-old things we've talked about as big pressure point topics this week. Ole Olevi, a former fifth overall pick that many thought looked like a complete bust, now might have some life again. Jake Virtanen, former sixth overall pick, who was called a bust, had a good season, gained some notoriety again, and now might be sitting out of the game, ahead of the game here on Sunday. So a lot of this kind of stuff comes back to all those same conversations, Irv. So it's positive on Ylevi, but negative on Virtanen. So the question is, where does Virtanen currently stand?
Right now, after practice today?
Yes.
I think, it's, as Travis Green just mentioned on his Zoom media availability, you know, Virtanen and Erickson were part of the main skating group, and Zach MacEwen was not. Now, I don't know if that was by design or what was going on, but I think that when you look at Jake Virtanen, and we've talked about this so much, and it's honestly getting old. But I think for him, it's, did he do enough in camp to earn a spot in the game on Sunday? And if you're asking me, from a guy that was there every single day and watched the scrimmages and you know, was talking to people within the organization, I don't believe that he did. And that's why Jake didn't play against the Winnipeg Jets. Now, did Travis Green want to get a look at Zach MacEwen? Yeah, I mean, he was an extra forward. So was he really put on a line to actually have a spot cemented there? No. So I think what you saw against the Winnipeg Jets up front is pretty similar to what you may see on Sunday when things drop for real against the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, it's unfortunate. Travis said before, you know, before they even went to Edmonton, that we have three guys that are NHL guys that are probably going to sit. And it's unfortunate who the casualty may be, but you got to look at trying winning this. This isn't a seven-game series. Like we've said before, this is a sprint. Things can change very fast. Because he's not in one game doesn't mean he won't be in the next game. So that's where I'm at on the Jake Virtanen thing. And I think that, you know, let's just see what happens here the next couple of days. But if you're asking me if I think that he plays on Sunday, I don't believe so.
Yeah, probably not. And I know we've talked about this a lot, Irv, and even in the last year, we've had six different conversations where Jake was like the main focus of some sort of controversy, whether it was big, whether it was small. I mean, who knows? But those things happen. So I mean, I look at it this way. I'm not a huge believer in Jake. I am of the mind that this is really turning into the classic case of, hey, guy needs a fresh start. Like that's all it is. We see this around the NHL all the time. The Canucks are not a special circumstance. Sometimes players need fresh starts, and I think that he might be one of those guys. Now, when I'm not putting blame on I'm not putting blame on the organization at all. I understand why he's not in the lineup. I totally understand the frustration and why he might not be the most popular guy in the locker room or something like that. However, part of this is like on Jake too. I understand where he's like, man, like I'm pretty good. I'm better than some of the guys in the lineup from a straight up hockey skill wise type of conversations. I had 18 goals this year. Is there a point where it's not about, oh, well, the Canucks trade Jake? Is there a point where Jake is going to say in his camp, hey, time to move me because I need a fresh start here?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely something that could come up in the next maybe few weeks or after, you know, all of this ends. I think that, you know, Jake and his camp, and they're obviously, or Jake's going to obviously have talks with the general manager, Jim Benning, and I think that, you know, talks need to be honest and open, and they have been, I know, with Travis and Jake as to, you know, what they want to see from each other, what Travis wants to see from Jake, and it's no secret. It's the consistency. It's the work ethic. It's the little things. I'm going to get nailed for saying little things, but it's the little things that players do to be professionals, both on and off the ice. And I think that when you're in, you know, year five, and you know you're about time to now where you're starting to look at your money and say, okay, I'm in for a big payday here. If not this contract, the next one. You got to start to look at yourself in the mirror a little bit and say, okay, what do I need to do to A, get that, and B, get my game to a level where, you know, it needs to be like this every single night. Look, he, like you said, Andrew, he scored 18 goals this year. Guy barely had any power play time in a third line role, sometimes even a fourth line role on most nights. I'm not knocking the kid's skill. Straight up, he's probably one of their best skaters on the team. He has all the attributes to be an absolutely dominant force offensively, physically, but it's just putting it all together for him. And I think that that's the most frustrating part with the fan base. Like, I was trying to think about it the other day. People were talking about Jake, and I'm like, man, is he not going to go down? And the kid's only 24 years old, 23 years old. Is he not going to go down as one of the most polarizing figures in Vancouver sports history just because of every little thing that he's done so far has been absolutely under the microscope? Like, I can't think of another athlete here in Vancouver that's been under the microscope as much as Jake.
You know, it's the not. No, they're not, and the parallels are so different. I don't like when people, you know, compare Jake to Zach Cassian because they're so different as players. But when it comes to guys like him that, you know, need to figure out how to be a power forward, it takes a long time sometimes for those guys to put it together. And sometimes you need to get out of where you are to put it together, where there are certain expectations that come with it as well, especially here in Vancouver. So the question with Jake really is, what happens this play-in series? Because if he doesn't play and the Canucks are out early, or if he doesn't play and they keep having success, then it's pretty obvious where this is headed. So if we look at unlikely heroes, guys who could potentially do something in this playoff, where does Jake rank as a guy that who may not play in game one, but could still do something and perhaps be somebody of notoriety in this series?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one because, first of all, he's got to get on the ice.
Right?
So if Jake doesn't play and I'm Jake, I'm going to my agent right after the series. And I'm saying, man, like, what's going on here? Like, at that point, you're like, okay, like, one game, okay, say they lose the first game, Travis doesn't change things. Say they win the first game, okay, you probably keep the same lineup if you're winning. But if they lose, things go a little bit sideways. You got to make adjustments and work on the fly. And, you know, Jake's a big body. The series is going to be, it's going to be one of those grinder type of series. And if he doesn't get in, you know, if I'm Jake and I'm his camp, I'm looking to try and go somewhere elsewhere. But I agree with you, Sat. Like, he could be someone that does make a difference, but I mean, he's got to get in the lineup first. So for an unsung guy, unsung hero, kind of going in, I don't know, man. I think like, Troy Stetcher maybe has the opportunity to do it a little bit. I keep going back to him because he's just a guy that's kind of really flown under the radar a little bit. You know, he's had some times with Travis Green where, you know, coach and player didn't know what they want from each other. And then he plays really, really well when he plays with a guy like Alex Edler. So you don't really know what's going to happen there. So I think a guy like Troy Stetcher here in his experience will kind of help a little bit for sure.
Mike in Maple Ridge texts in 650-650. He could see Jake being the unsung hero. We're getting some Antoine Roussel love in there as well. Put it this way when it comes to Jake and that role on this earth. The only way Jake doesn't play at some point in this series, it's not just game one, it is an entire series. The only way he doesn't play in this series, if the Canucks come out and just roll the Wild in three straight, and then it's just, just keep it going. And that, and even then, that means nobody gets hurt either. Jake probably is going to play in this series. And
oh, absolutely.
This sounds so cliche, right? Because, I mean, there is a time where it's like, oh, this is a motivating tool, and we've heard that a million times for different players over the years. But Jake has played like 300 NHL games. If this is like a motivating tactic, something is very wrong with your tactics, or something is very wrong with Jake, and who knows, it might be both. But if I am Jake, I am pissed off about not playing game one, obviously. Like I, you know, I said, 18 goals and 300 games in the NHL. If he is not playing game one and then gets inserted at some other point, like there's just no, at this point, there's no excuse for Jake not to just have, you talk about motivation to play the games of your life. There's no other, like Jake has the hammer here.
Oh, I 100% agree. I think that it's definitely one of those things where, yeah, we talked about it's cliche, one of those motivating factors or whatever it is. Like, yeah, almost 300 games, over 300 games in his career, but not being able to play in the first playoff game ever as a local kid for your hometown team, mm-hmm. I think that one stings a little bit more. Like, you know what I mean? I think that there's that. The team hasn't been in the playoffs for a number of years, and you're left out of it, and they drafted you that high, and then you're thinking about all these things. Like, I mean, I'm excited to see him play when he does, just because of all of this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, say miraculously he could be in game one. We don't know. I have no idea what Travis is doing. I've not talked to him. He's not divulging lineups. He could put him in for all we know. But if I do know kind of what Travis is going to maybe a little bit, but if he goes the same way he kind of did against the Winnipeg Jets and Jake gets in game two or game three at some point in this series, that's the guy that I'm looking at to say, okay, here we go. This is your shot, and let's see what you do with it.
So let me throw both you guys a hypothetical here, because like we are in a pandemic. Things change. Yep. This is, you know, this is a bizarre situation, and there's no playbook. But what if this was game one in Vancouver? Right? Game one, Vancouver, playoff series, first time in 5 years, and Travis Green is sitting Jake Virtanen. Does this conversation have any different of a feel or an impact?
Are they still, are they in the bubble, or is it game one Vancouver with fans in the stadium?
No, just normal. This is first playoff game in 5 years, but it's business as usual.
No, I still think, I don't think it. I think Travis Green is coaching to, well, I mean, well, then they don't have a training camp before. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. It's a bit of a hypothetical, but that feels like a pretty big statement. It's a big statement anyways, given everything, you know, in hometown and all that, if this game was in Vancouver in front of a bustling crowd, that feels big.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm pumped to see this Canuck team and see this. I'm excited to see the young guys and you know, like other guys that you know have been around the league for a long time. You know what you're going to get out of a Tyler Toffoli. You know, probably know what you're going to get out of a Tanner Pearson. But you know, Brock and Elias Pettersson and you know, Jake obviously wants to be a part of that. And I can tell you right now, if he's not in game one, you're going to see, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a different Jake Virtanen when he does get into that lineup.
I do think so too. And the track record with Travis, anytime he's kind of challenged Jake like this or prodded him like this, Jake has responded generally, right? And the other thing, the one thing I will say about Jake too that is a bit unfair from our perspective, because we always say, hey, Jake isn't the power winger, at least not yet. He's not that core guy, at least not yet. But he's taken a step forward and he's become a decent contributor. So now we can't say, oh, yeah, well, this guy sucks because you know, Michael Ferland is healthy, and Ferland got paid $3.5 million for 4 years for a reason. Roussel got a four-year, three-year contract, four-year contract for $3 million per season for a reason, right? You look at the fourth line and the guys that play certain roles, they're going to be in those roles no matter what. They have more depth in the forward group. He doesn't play center. Like, some of this is numbers driven too, right? Like, this isn't just purely, oh, Jake showed up and he sucks and he's a moron or they're not going to play. I'm like, there is that side of this as well, which goes back to what this team can actually do. And perhaps there is better depth here on the wings.
Yeah, but for the numbers thing, I do get the argument there and everything. But at this point, I think you ought to throw that kind of all out the window a little bit, because it's whoever that's going to help you win three games right now. And if I'm Travis and I'm coaching, or if I'm anyone on that coaching staff or organizationally, when you're looking at it and you're on that whiteboard and Travis and his two assistant coaches or whoever there is are making that final decision, you have 18 there. You have 79, you have 21, you have 71 on the board. And you say, which guy is the one guy that's going to help us win game one? And if it so happens that it's Michael Ferland and it ends up being a guy like Louis Erickson, and unfortunately another two or three guys are going to have to take the bullet because of that, then so be it. But it's a good problem to have, because there is wing depth. It just sucks that we have to talk about it, because the guy that we've been talking about, haven't stopped talking about him for 5 years in this organization. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Irfan Ghaffar joins us, Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. So it's the last, this is the last time to get your takes in, I suppose.
Yeah.
What's your overriding feeling on this series now and the group? We talk so much about Jake, but fact of the matter is,
yeah,
to win a playoff series, to go on an extended playoff run, you really can't have many players playing poorly.
No.
So even little lineups decisions like this get glossed over. What's your feeling on this series?
I like the Canucks in this series. I think that Vancouver Canucks fans better get used to the name Ryan Suter, because you're going to see a lot of him, definitely. And look, we saw the game against the Winnipeg Jets. The Canucks had over 30 shots. Connor Hellebuck's probably going to win the Vezina. If you're getting that many shots against Dubnyk or Stalock, odds are a couple are going in. You know, and Hellebuck made some pretty good saves. So I think that from that aspect, when you look at it, the Canucks offensively probably have the edge over that team. And I do believe goaltending is going to come up big in this series. You know, is Jacob Markstrom going to be the Jacob Markstrom that we saw over the last couple of years, the MVP of the team, basically? And I think that the Canucks can – there's people that think that the Canucks are going to sweep. I think Minnesota does get one. I think that, you know, a little bit of the nerves might get some of these guys just in the first game, maybe. But I'm definitely taking the Canucks. I think that they're a stronger team in a lot of different aspects of the game, and it's just gonna be fun to watch. And I think that, you know, when you look at this Minnesota Wild team, Landry, I heard you talking about it before. It's not gonna be a walk in the park. You know, they don't suck. They're not going to roll over and have the Canucks, be able to sweep them. But it's going to be a fun series for sure.
I have, one more question here before I let you go. Out of those young guys, because you have a pretty good feel of the guys in the group, which one do you think is the one that feels like he has the most to prove, or is the most eager to get out on the ice here and do something?
Honestly, Jake. Like, yeah. We've had the conversation, but he just might not get there and do it. Like,
right,
and that's the crappy thing, right? Because, look, you know what you're going to get out of an Elias Pettersson. Like, does he really have something to prove? He's the superstar player. He's going to get a bajillion dollars in his NHL career. Brock Besser, he's made his money. Yeah, maybe a little bit there because he's playing against his hometown team. Bo Horvat, just named the captain. I don't know. Like, I think that when you look at it, of the young guy, like, this, you're telling me that Quinn Hughes feels like he has to go out and prove something? No, he's already one of the team's best players. So
right.
I think that. So I honestly think it's Jake.
Okay, wait. Okay, let me just throw this out there to you guys here.
Okay.
I said it was the last question, but let me just throw this out there.
Yeah,
we have time.
Yeah,
we don't
yeah.
care. All right,
we don't care.
So
we don't care. We don't give any F's.
Right. So Travis is a poker player, right? Travis
Absolutely.
Is a poker player, and he's fooled us before.
Okay.
And we talk about penalty killers, and yes, you need them. Of course you need them. But it's not like they don't have guys that can PK totally. Like, JT Miller can kill penalties. Bo Horvat can kill penalties. Tanner Pearson can kill penalties. Toffoli can even do it if you need him to do it. Roussel can kill penalties, right? You still have Mott, and you still have Beagle. There are still enough guys there as forwards to kill penalties. You only need two of them. It's not like you need, you know, 15 penalty killers. So if you really, really wanted to get through, especially in one game, you could. It's not like you have to have one of those guys in. Could this be the motivation? Today he skates, and then you throw him in on the fourth line. And as you mentioned, he's the most motivated guy. Travis knows Jake really well. Travis knows how to push Jake. Travis knows how to get him amped up. And now you're going to release him out like a, you know, a wild dog, essentially, when he just gets to, you know, pat, you know, he gets a nod on the shoulder on Sunday morning. Like, is that conceivable here?
Yeah, I think so, because I think that we've had this conversation. We just talked about this. He knows what it takes to get the most out of his young guys. You know, I mean, the Ben Hutton thing was kind of out there. You know, criticized him publicly and stuff like that. But every time he's criticized Jake, Jake's come around and he's done something. And, you know, the question the other day or a few days ago, what does Jake need to do to whatever? He says, play better. That was literally his answer. And the next day, Jake had a goal in that scrimmage. I'm pretty sure it was the next day. So, I like, look, there's a lot of things that are going to go into this. And, Sat, I do 100% agree with you that Travis is definitely a poker player. And he's, like, that final lineup decision, it probably, even after Sunday's morning skate that the Canucks are going to have, that lineup decision probably still isn't made until that at some point that afternoon. Like, I actually really do believe that.
He is Irfan Gafar. What's your plan? What's your plan going to be tomorrow? Five games, back to back to back to back to back.
Five games, back to back to back to back to back. We watch all the hockey.
Yeah.
At least right now. Hey, so hold on. One more.
Hey man,
more.
We have no excuse. If there's fan, if you're, and I'm I don't want to, I don't like to, you know, judge fans. And hey, you're not as, if you're not watching all five games yesterday and you don't have a legitimate excuse, you are not worth your salt. As a hockey fan, we've waited 4.5 months.
Well, absolutely, it's our job. Remember when people were ripping you for watching every hockey game? So now you're like, you know what? Screw you guys! I am literally watching every hockey game.
I don't know if they were ripping me for watching every hockey game. I think they just didn't believe me. I think they were calling me a liar.
Right, well, now what?
Yes, a liar.
Now what? Just tweet a picture of every single game that you watch tomorrow.
Yeah, you
little
guys
do we know that Andrew Walker is actually Dr. Manhattan.
All right, we got to go. Thanks.
All right, boys, be well.